Welcome to the Making Connections podcast with your host, Spencer Raposo. This podcast was made to interview current registered kinesiologists in Ontario and talk to them about what they do and where they see the future of the profession going. The goal of the podcast is to get a conversation going about kinesiology as a regulated health profession in Ontario. Each episode, we will bring on a new guest with loads of experience as an RKIN that will share their story and any advice for any new RKINs and kinesiology students about current opportunities in the field. In this episode, I interview Alicia Jindal, RKIN and Health and Wellbeing Coordinator with CGI. Ms. Jindal obtained her Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology from McMaster University. In her role as a Health and Wellbeing Coordinator, she provides direct or remote services to members in the DTA and Markham region. Her different duties are explained within the episode. In this episode, Alicia shares the difference between an RKIN in corporate versus clinical setting, how starting as a kin helped her build her skill set, and how she's used yoga and mindfulness now throughout her career. Hi, Alicia.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome to the Making Connections podcast. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. How are yourself?
Not too bad. Okay. So, what I want to kind of do is, like I just said there, is just thank you first off for coming onto the show and taking some time out today to kind of share your story with our listeners. And I hope it kind of brings some value to people.
Sounds great to me.
So I know we have a lot to talk about today from like our previous call. So let's jump right into it and let you take the floor and let us know about how long you've been an RKIN for.
Well, I've been an RKIN. I graduated McMaster University in 2010, so it's been about 10 years actually this summer.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you write the exam then? I don't think the exam was available at that time. Were you grandfathered in?
I was grandfathered in, exactly.
Okay. Awesome. So starting, I guess, from beginning, even if you want to start as early as school or any early occurrences, I want you to kind of chat about your kind of story about how you got to where you are now.
Sure, for sure. Well, I graduated, like I said, from McMaster University in 2010, right? So I have been a kin for quite a number of years. But prior to that, I actually moved to Canada from Trinidad and Tobago. And I started high school here in grade 12. So during this high school year, my grade 12 year, when I started planning my post-secondary schooling path, let's say, I attended an information session at McMaster University about the kinesiology program, which at that time I actually didn't know much about kinesiology because I had initially intended on applying for the science program. But after that session, I actually realized that this was right up my alley. I mean, as you know, as many other kin graduates, or I guess most kin graduates do, I had an inclination to athletics and sports beforehand. I mean, I played volleyball and tennis in high school, and I did martial arts. So it was just something that was naturally an interest to me, I guess I would say. And so when I went to this this session at McMaster, I mean, learning about the science of movement sparked a really big interest to me. So like at that point, I decided I wanted to do kinesiology. So then through my university process in the kinesiology program, I originally intended on pursuing physiotherapy or occupational therapy, I guess a little bit cliche, but still a lot of kin graduates. Yeah, exactly. It's in the back of your mind kind of thing. That's what I want to do. But after I graduated, actually, I wanted to gain some workplace experience first as a kin. And it's when I decided to do that and I jumped into kinesiology as a profession. I mean, the diversity and the scope of a kin, it was just so incredible to me that I had a great desire to actually explore the field a lot more. So that was, a little bit of a turn of events there for me. During my university years, in terms of volunteer experience, I worked at this I worked in this program called MAC Turtles, which was a cardiac rehab program. I volunteered on site at the sports clinic. A few of these were really good stepping stones for work as a clinical kin, which kind of launched me into the first couple rehab clinics that I worked at in my first few years. Through those rehab clinic experiences, I had the opportunity to learn the ropes, I guess, from things like exercise prescription, hands-on technique, relationship building with clients, working in interdisciplinary settings. And fortunately enough for me, I had incredible ability to work on my skill set, taking courses like functional abilities testing, post-offer employment testing, lifestyle. I did a really cool workshop that was a lifestyle management, cognitive behavioral therapy workshop, PDAs, advanced shoulder back cervical workshops, things like that. So, I mean, skill building, I had great opportunities, which was really useful for me. I actually had the ability to work in several different types of settings. So not just your typical like MVA injury rehab clinic, but I had the opportunity to work in manufacturing settings from a rehab perspective. So for me, that was a good opportunity to see things from a different perspective, work with the different demographics, establishing, what are the different needs and different types of settings. So that was another very cool experience to me. And then, following that, I actually just decided to take a little bit of a leap and move in a different direction, which moved me into my most recent role in corporate health and wellness. So that's just a little bit of a snapshot of my back story or my journey into getting to where I am right now.
Yeah, and I feel like that is for like a lot of individuals that come onto the show. A lot of them come out, don't know exactly what they're doing. They try out being a kin, see if they like it or not. Obviously, the people that I interview like it, so they continue on that. And just like you, starting as a kin in just like that clinical setting really helps you build up that confidence and skill set to really be confident later on to move on to independent work or start your own business or move on to another position. So I definitely think that is a good kind of starting point for a lot of people, even if their goal is to go into physio or to go into another profession. Starting as a kinesiologist has a lot of benefits in terms of, like you said, team building, skill building, relationship building, and those kind of soft skills that maybe you don't get with other kind of courses or classes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Awesome. So that was previously you were at CBI and now you're at CGI, not to get them confused. So I want you to kind of talk about what you do in your role at CGI so you can kind of outline that. And I know you kind of talked about like the health consulting and presentation aspect. And then once we kind of wrap up with what is your role there, I want us to kind of look at what is the difference between the two roles as an Arkin at CBI and Arkin at CBI or CGI. So our listeners can know the difference. Yeah, sorry, I'm getting myself confused there.
Yeah, really easy. Just that one letter. I know. For sure. So in terms of the health and wellness consultant role at CGI, so this was a very interesting and exciting role to me because it really enabled me to explore a variety of opportunities and skills, right? So the range is very wide and including things like local activities such as managing an on-site fitness facility, teaching group fitness classes, doing personal consultation sessions, movement testing sessions, on-site ergonomic assessments, things like that. But also having the ability to do things like facilitating health and wellness presentations to new members, or like onboarding new members, as well as presenting like health and wellness planning during retirement sessions for people who are looking into what's going to happen next after they leave and what happens to their health and wellness after that. You know, the role allowed me to work on larger projects like coordinating and facilitating health and wellness clinics across the GTA, running mental health activities. There are a couple times during the year when nationally we recognize mental health awareness. And so working on building up recognition for that, for mental health, and engaging the employees to jump onto these discussions. That was a very cool particular national activity. Things like running nutrition workshops. So a lot of these allowed me to really broaden my skill set as a kin in this field. Other aspects of the role, very interesting, allowing me to work with company stakeholders and internal partners, so like HR, for example, and as well working with internal groups like diversity and inclusion committees, for example, you know, just to ensure that health and wellness is kept at the forefront of the conversations. So it becomes bigger than simply just being a kin, because you get to work with and integrate with the business at that point. And so, you know, from the what I really enjoyed about that role, the networking, the relationship build aspect that this role afforded me. I was able to learn the importance of health and wellness as a primary pillar in business organizations, right? Because it does add great value to the business by things like helping to minimize short-term and long-term disability and decrease turnover, which at the end of the day, an on-site program, like a health and wellness program that I was in, does make it an asset to the business from this perspective, right? So, I mean, working in this role, I still get to work with people in, on an individual perspective, but I also get to work from an organizational and national level. So that's, you know, it kind of it takes me in a different direction and allows me to have a little bit of a different experience, right? Because I get to work with larger groups and serving more of a collective population. So very, very different experience. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a snapshot, of what that corporate health and wellness role looks like.
And then again, between what you did as a kinesiologist at CBI versus CGI, how does that differ then?
Yeah,
compared to
the corporate world role. Yes.
Yes, just for anyone who's listening to know the difference between what you do between the two, even if it's just summarizing what you did. At CBI, I know you kind of touch base on it, but like on a daily basis.
Yeah, for sure. So two very different experiences for me, because I mean, the CBI is very clinical. And so you're working in a little bit of like a traditional kin perspective. So you're working with clients and you're working one-on-one in a personal, not personal training, but you're working on exercise prescription and such. In CBI, I had the opportunity to do things like POETs on a regular basis. We had functional testing and things like that. So very clinical type skills, right? But I mean, once again, as a kin in CBI, it gave me the ability to really build my confidence and my abilities within the profession. So that was a really crucial experience for me to be able to explore things like that. But transitioning into CGI, I would say a lot of the skills that I gained at CBI helped me in my role in corporate wellness, because it allowed me to apply many of these skills, but in different ways. Right. So, for example, working on projects at like a local or national level meant shifting thinking from serving like an individual to an organizational perspective. So you're really just trying to, you know, re-gauge what your target audience is and who you're trying to serve. But, you know, there's a lot of elements in the health and wellness industry, like working closely with the business, you know, opens up the ability to think in the different thought process, right? So you're working with adapting policies, you're working with running education sessions. So at the end of the day, the difference in the role is just the ability to apply clinical skills in a different and very, from my perspective, a very creative way within the corporate health and wellness, because now you can kind of tailor what you want to do with these skills and how you want to make, have an impact on the clients and the employees that you serve. So yeah, I hope that kind of gives a little bit of a
No.
difference in terms of if the
No.
two.
Yeah, no, that was awesome explanation, and that's what I wanted to kind of you to explain to the listeners is the difference that you're working one-on-one with these people, and it's a lot more clinical in the CBI role, whereas CGI, it's more like you said, bigger picture things
Absolutely.
that you're working on policy, and but you still have that aspect of working one-on-one with people.
Exactly.
So no, that's awesome. I want it. That's exactly what I was kind of looking for. So hopefully that can help clarify for any of the listeners. Next, I wanted to kind of touch base on something of an interest that you kind of chatted about earlier on in one of our other phone calls, talking about how your interest in like yoga and mindfulness influences your work at when you were at CBI and when you're at CGI. So if you can even go back and kind of chat about what kind of got you into yoga and then how you applied it to your different jobs.
So yoga, I actually did the instructor course quite a few years back during my time at CBI, and it was something that was just it just naturally fit with me. Something I was already interested in, both from the physical perspective but also from the mindfulness perspective. And so having done that course and becoming a yoga instructor, I actually did teach at a few yoga facilities during the time that I was also a kin. But what I did was I started to kind of incorporate the yoga practices into my rehab, into my exercise prescription. And what I realized was that a lot of people really liked it. You can be as simple as going through, regular stretching technique, right? But what I started to incorporate and explain to people was the benefit, for example, of syncing breathing with the stretching aspect of things. And from that perspective, just from a physical perspective, you were able to kind of maximize that stretch. And a lot of people found that very helpful. In a larger way, in CBI, I actually had the opportunity, having taken a workshop called a resiliency, and it's kind of like a cognitive behavioral therapy workshop. I had the opportunity to co-run something called a lifestyle restoration program with some clients, and I guess what that program was about was taking people who were going through, some chronic rehab experiences that they were having, and having to jump back into the workplace. They needed a bit of a bridge. So my role was to take them through, a movement-based session, but also incorporate the mental health aspect of things. So I brought yoga into that. So we, for example, started sessions doing a little bit of meditation, mindfulness, breathing technique, and then we'll go through our exercise session, but really blending that mindfulness and movement piece was very interesting to me. And having had that yoga background, once again, I as many and in as many circumstances and opportunities that I have, I try to blend it in where I see it can be a benefit to a lot of people. So that's CBI. I used it in that way. And at CGI, I taught some fitness classes, so incorporating, for example, yoga into a lot of the fitness classes that I taught. But also in the CGI setting, for example, running like for national activities that focused on mental health, I was able to, for example, run like a week of yoga sessions that employees might benefit from. And people who had no clue about yoga were able to jump in on a few of these sessions and realize that they enjoyed it, and it helps them not only from a physical perspective, but also from a mental health perspective. So, I mean, a little bit of a passion for me, but it's something that blended really well through my journey, I guess, as a kin.
No, that's awesome. And yeah, that's one thing that I wanted to make sure people knew that, that you can incorporate different ideas, not just in that clinical setting, but bring some of those ideas in the health and well-being coordinator position at CGI. Because especially nowadays, like mental health has like blown up in terms of people being aware, at least, of the benefits of mindfulness, of meditation, of taking care of that part of your health. So in terms of yourself, you're kind of ahead of the game with that, incorporating that a lot. And I know in my role as a kin, we did concussion groups that we incorporated mindfulness into it. And that was sort of new to me. Like, I understood that, but it was really cool because I ran these classes or these groups with an occupational therapist who had a little bit more information in terms of that kind of mental health aspect. Oh, yeah. So now that you've been a kin for almost now 10 years, yes. 10 years now. Yeah. Awesome. I want you to kind of talk about your overall experience so far as a kinesiologist. Was it what you expected? Are you still thinking of maybe doing other things with it? Just kind of your general overall experience.
Yeah, it's a good question. For me, I mean, I really enjoy working with people, which is why I like this field. And I'm sure, like most of us who are or who've stayed in this field, I guess we've stayed because we truly enjoy serving people in this way. What I've found quite enjoyable so far as being a kin is the ability to explore skill building within our field. So just touching on the question that you asked, whether I'm looking to, you know, kind of move into something else. I think there's so much to explore as a kinesiologist in terms of all kinds of different things that we can do that. I think that's something that I really want to kind of stick with. Because what I've found is in terms of my experience as a kin, apart from the clinical skills, I've found that soft skills can be really useful in many roles that I've taken on. I mean, things like we've mentioned before, like relationship building, networking, and in my most current role experience, just having the ability to do like presentation skills and workshops and things like that. I find that these skills are so transferable and you can even have these, the opportunities to work on these as a kin. In my most recent role, for example, things like event planning, promotion, like management of operations and leadership, things like that, you can get in so many different roles as a kin that it can be quite an exciting journey to me. Because these are skills that you can actually take into any organization. So I place like a high value on skill building from that perspective. So my experience as a kin has been phenomenal. It's something that's exciting for me all the time because I never have the chance to get bored, which is something that it's something that I would be a little bit hesitant to in, several different, I guess, jobs. But the thing about being a kinesiologist is there's just so much to learn about and to explore. So I think that from my perspective, I want to keep on this path. But something I think a few of your guests had already touched on, but one of the challenges of being a kin, for example, right now, would be the lack of, I guess, recognition and credibility, because we really often have to advocate for our skill set and prove ourselves so we can establish this credibility with clients and even colleagues, because there's so many people who don't quite understand what a kinesiologist is and the scope of the profession and things like that. So there's a lot of having to, I guess, educate people about what we can do and, using and leveraging these great skills that we have to really prove ourselves. And what I've found to be true across the board for all of my experiences so far is that when you can, bring these skills to the table, prove and do excellent work as a kinesiologist, I mean, you gain such credibility. There's a lot of referral that's happening. You get the opportunity to jump on all kinds of different projects, especially when leaders in the companies that you're at can see what you can do and they see your potential, they see your drive. So, I mean, for me, that's been, I guess, a big part of my journey so far, because although it can be challenging, it's a good opportunity. It's more than good. It's a great opportunity, really, to define our role more clearly and leverage these unique skills that we have.
No, absolutely. And like you said there, a lot of the guests here on the show have kind of reiterated that. And that's something that I hope to kind of build with this podcast is letting the awareness be out there about what kinesiologists do. Yes, my target audience is more toward new kinesiologists, other kinesiologists, and kinesiology students, but it's also a platform for the public to be aware of the different roles and the different skills and different value that registered kinesiologists can bring, whether they work in a clinical setting or corporate wellness setting, ergonomic setting, etc. So no, thank yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It's really making sure we always advocate for it whenever we can, so people are aware that we are akin and that we do have these skills and we can help you in ways that maybe you didn't think that we
Exactly.
could. So, for the next part, kind of touching base a little bit on what we just talked about there, I wanted to get your take on where you see the future of the profession of kinesiology going, more specifically in Ontario, from your point of view, being an RKIN now for 10 years.
I mean, you know what? Given the current COVID pandemic climates, I find that it's been so easy to see now the importance of good health in our lives, right? It's something that's very easy to take for granted, but right now we can see how important it is. And you know, I believe that the role of akin will be seen as a great asset. And once again, mentioned before probably, but I do believe that in the community healthcare setting, preventative health, I think within these settings will be a really, really big priority, right? Right now, with the strain on the healthcare system, given the current health crisis that the not only the country, well, not only the province, but the country's going through, I find that, or I feel that outpatient type roles will be very necessary and a big asset, right? And the thing about kinesiology is that our role as kinesiologists actually enable us to take on a variety of tasks in these types of settings. So like exercise prescription, preventative education, ergonomics, return to work testing, which makes us so valuable in many different types of job settings, right? So that is something that I think we'll see more of moving forward. I also think that wellness programs in many companies will be viewed as a bit of a priority perk. Many companies I know already have employee assistance programs, right, provided for by third parties. But having a qualified professional such as ourselves can be so useful as an on-site resource, given the many services that we provide. And I see that being in the current, you know, corporate health and wellness kind of role. I also feel that like the younger generations place such a high value on health and wellness and on work-life balance. So a lot of the internal wellness
For sure.
programs can be promoted as a great hiring incentive. And you're able to, if you're looking at it from the business perspective, they're able to attract top talent. So our role can be such a great asset to health and wellness programs in many companies. So that's another thing. I also feel that, and once again, coming out of the pandemic, you're able to see things in a lot of different ways. But I feel that our role can translate really well into a virtual space, right? And as technology advances over however many years, I feel like that can be even more true. So, you know, the pandemic has kind of highlighted the abilities of many businesses to manage well in virtual. With virtual operations. And so I feel like in the future, a lot of companies might choose to operate several divisions of their business in this space. And so our role is very fluid and flexible that in that, yes, from a traditional perspective, yes, you need to work one-on-one with a kin in person, but there's a lot of opportunity for kinesiologists to explore the virtual world. And that for me is going to be a very interesting direction to move into. So that's kind of something that I recently had been thinking about. And so at the end of the day, for me, the outlook of our profession is super positive and lucrative. And yes, we might be a newer to the healthcare field as being a college, but there's a lot of room for us to grow, I think.
No, I could definitely second everything you kind of said there. Really having this opportunity now to kind of reflect during this kind of pandemic on our health. It's placed a lot more on our health and us being aware of having a better kind of work-life balance, because now we have so much more time to do so many things to take care of ourselves. And I think a lot of people are starting to notice the importance of that. And then two, with what you said with the younger generation, really having that knowledge and knowing about that work-life balance is important for them, having a kinesiologist run wellness programs to kind of incentivize or attract different new employees is definitely going to be a benefit going forward with people. So that's awesome, because that perspective is a lot different than what I usually hear with a lot of individuals. Because yes, we all agree on the preventative health that registered kinesiologists can really take on that more prehab, preventative health, health and wellness, health care professional space. But you looked at it more as a business perk or business idea that you can, how you can leverage it there for attracting people and other people and other things. So no, that's awesome. I really really enjoyed that kind of thought process, because yes, I don't hear that as much. So what I wanted to kind of finish off here was just looking at I'm not sure if you get any other people messaging you or students or newer kins, but I want you to take this time here to kind of leave any words of advice for any kinesiology students that are maybe tuned in and listening and kind of curious about corporate wellness or kind of about your journey, and or any advice for any kinesiologists, even like myself, who have been only a kin for 1, 2, 3 years that are still trying to figure it
Great.
out.
Like I mentioned before, actually, I really do believe that these podcasts are a fantastic resource. So, I mean, Spencer, great on you for taking the time out of your life to do things like this. But thinking about what would have been useful to me as I began my journey, and now having had the experience in the field, right? There are a few things that I think I can identify that are important for new kins, or yeah, new kins or kin students to consider as they jump into the field, right? So one thing for me, and I've talked about this, so I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot, but diversifying your skill set.
No.
Okay, we have such a wide scope as a kinesiologist, and so the more skills that you have in your toolbox, the better you're able to explore so many different roles. There's a lot of overlap that can happens in this field, and as you move from a clinical role, like for example, me gaining the opportunity to do some a little bit of mental health work, overlaps with this job that I have in health and wellness. So having the more experience that you have and the more skills that you build, you can jump into all kinds of different and very various types of roles. So that's one thing. Another thing for me would be to know what you're passionate about and to look for roles that allow you to incorporate these passions, right? You mentioned before, and we talked about that earlier, but for that would be like me as a yoga instructor wanting to incorporate yoga into my exercise prescription and being able to run workshops and things like that. For me as well, mental health is another really big interest for me. So using and leveraging that interest into running things like the lifestyle and resiliency program that I did. So at the end of the day, the advice would be think about what you really enjoy and seek opportunities to integrate these things, right? We just talked about that in the last piece, but for me right now, I'm actually doing a responsive web design certification course because I see things going moving in the direction of a virtual space. I have a big interest in terms of design, so I'm trying to figure out a way to integrate that. So there's always that thought process for me, that there's no point in working or building your career around something that you don't like. Another tip for me would be to build really good relationships with clients, create a strong brand for yourself. Doing great work will lead you in that direction as clients begin to refer you and you build credibility and you can strongly advocate for Ken as a professional in that way, right? So just build and keep professional networks as well. and you know, a very generic type of or piece of advice, I guess. But keep learning. Knowledge and skills add so much depth to our profession, and it makes the journey fun, exciting, interesting. You'll never get bored. There's so many different things to explore within this particular field. So just keep learning and adding new skills to that toolbox. Those are my top tips. Those are the things that you know I would have loved to hear way back when I started this journey 10 years ago.
No, that was awesome. I hope any of the listeners that are in that kind of spot right now that they take some value and understand that, yeah, we really have to kind of diversify our skill set, continue to learn, build relationships, build those soft skills, just to not just progress yourself on a resume, but as a person and a clinician and a therapist and a person. Right. So I totally agree with that. So trying to work on different things that you're passionate about, and hopefully you can start to incorporate it and make what you deliver or what
Oh,
you bring
yes.
to the table unique to
Exactly.
other people. So, other than that kind of course you kind of talked about, and all the courses you said you took at CBI, was there any other like books, pages, whether that's Instagram or Facebook pages, courses or interesting people to follow related to either mindfulness or yoga, or related to clinical work or as corporate wellness that you think would be interesting for the listeners to kind of look up or
I
read
mean,
about?
in terms of yoga, there's a lot of resources out there, for example, on Instagram. You know, Instagram, I pretty much just follow a few, for example, not yoga related, but someone I follow from an exercise prescription standpoint. Her name is Alexa Clark, for example, on Instagram, and I just like the way in which she brings to the table the exercise prescription piece and the way in which she tailors her exercise routines. So for my own personal workout, I actually integrate a lot of her techniques into my own personal workout, and it influences, for example, the way I would teach fitness classes. So she's somebody that
Nice.
you could look up and take a look and see if you like her at all. Yeah, that's the one big one I think I would leave there. In terms of for myself, like courses
Awesome.
and things like that would be coming up for me. I'm looking into something in doing a couple of courses this year, holistic nutrition and mental health related. So those are a couple of things that I'm keeping my eye out for as well. Yeah.
Awesome. No, thanks for sharing that. And all the stuff for any of the listeners right now, anything that we talk about in the show, I'll make sure to leave a link in the show notes for the different things that we talk about. So if you're interested, you can easily find it. But for today, Alicia, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. I really, really appreciate you taking your time out today and really helping me advocate for our profession to kind of really share the stories of other people, how they got to where they are, and really leaving us with those awesome pieces of advice for any of the listeners. So I just want to say
Absolutely. Thanks so
thank you
much for
so
having me
much.
on the show, Spencer. It's been a blast.
Awesome. So lastly, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Thanks for taking your time out today to listen to this full episode if you got this far. I look forward to releasing more podcast interviews in the near future. So, if you do know of any other registered kinesiologists that would be an awesome fit for this podcast, you can email me at makingconnections@gmail.com. Also, any other comments, questions, concerns can be directed at that email or through our main pages on LinkedIn, Facebook. Both are at Making Connections Podcast. Links for all these will be in the show notes, like I stated before. And again, thank you for listening. Have a great day and stay safe out there from the Making Connections team. I want to thank everyone for listening today. I really appreciate you taking the time out to listen to the entire full podcast. If you liked what you listened to today and want to hear more, please subscribe to the Making Connections podcast on whichever platform you're listening on now. And remember to like us on Facebook and LinkedIn pages.